Welcome to another program of Culture Vulture Art Served, the official radio program for the Imlina Biennale 2015. My name is Melanie Farrugia, and today we are going to continue the program with the guests that joined us last week. So today with us there are Frédéric Lucien, Dominique Dabier, Philippe Deloubière, Philippe Richard and Kasia Legrand, who are all participating artists for the Imlina Biennale 2015. However, today we will focus more on what's happening with contemporary art in Malta. And we have with us Daniela Allen, who will be also asking some questions to our artistic director, Dr. Giuseppe Schembri-Bonanni.
I'd like to ask you a question.
Not about my voice, please. Okay.
Obviously, you have, the major role and you're the brains behind all this. What do you aim to achieve? I mean, where did you start off from? What do you have in mind and where would you like to see this?
Oh, yes, that's a very complicated question, really. Because, I mean, there are multi-levels. The first level is that I enjoy it. I enjoy it a lot. I enjoy meeting people from the art world. I enjoy discussing, debating. I'm an artist myself. I love this interaction. Secondly, I am really disappointed at our contemporary history of modern art. And I'd like to give an idea of how things should be done. This might sound pretentious, but do believe me, it's not. So it's, for me, it's like an experimentation also. It's like creating a dialogue of how I would like to see not just the Biennale, how things ought to be done in Malta. So of course I'm creating some new enemies, but I have enough enemies, so some more enemies won't really matter. But since I'm enjoying it, I don't really care a lot, and I'm trying to do things really, really in a way that I really believe they should be done. That's from a personal point of view. The enjoyment, the meetings, the artistic side, and to put Malta into the international picture of the art world, modestly enough. But there are also philosophical reasons. I call them philosophical reasons. Imlina has a history of multicultural, multi-religion, multi-faith, etc. So I would like the Imlina Biennale to reflect these multi-levels of faiths and non-faiths. So I'm really happy to find French, British, Tunisian, Iranian, Pakistani, and now maybe even Chinese from Hong Kong. It's beautiful to find these levels concentrating on such a small fortress city as Imlina. So this reflects, I would like Imlina Biennale to reflect Malta's role in this multicultural, multi-religion.
And you mentioned that you were sort of somewhat disappointed at the contemporary art.
I'm very much disappointed.
Can you elaborate on that?
Oh, yes. I mean, I'm disappointed not from a quantitative point of view, because from a quantitative point of view, we're doing miracles in Malta. Events are bubbling everywhere, every day. You have 5-6 major events a day. I'm including, of course, music, opera, dance, theater, everything. Mm-hmm. It's incredible, and I do believe in a Hegelian way that the more quantity you have, someday, some moment, this would erupt into quality. But we're still, of course, we are still having our, let's call it, birth pangs. And yes, I am disappointed as regards the actual results, the actual implementation of the Maltese contemporary art. Well, but at the same time, this massive quantity of events is provoking a certain optimism in me.
Do you think the problem is mainly from the curatorial approach?
No, not only. I mean, we had a 50-year, I think, of artistic depression. Yeah. After Vincent Tapap, what sculptors do we have? Who are the major sculptors after Vincent Tapap? Forget a bit Pirotta, who died quite young in London. We've got a total loophole of sculpture tradition. Although, if you go back 50 years, we had Ciortino, we had Apap, we had Diacono, we had a whole strong school, really strong sculpture school. But after Apap, what happened? everybody's talking about either Antonia Jews or Camille Ricauque, but these are mediocre works, unfortunately, with all my respect I have for these people. But the works are mediocre. So we have to revamp our discussion, our debate. We have to revamp our schools, with an S, plural. We have to revamp our tradition. And we've got, yes, we've got to go back.
Yes, and if I may,
yeah,
what is intriguing from my point of view is the fact that the Mbina Biennale is putting together these different schools, the critical schools at university and the students of the university, the new student that will start the MA in Fine Arts, and the artists. So there is this kind of milieu that we are trying to reproduce.
The milieu is important.
And coming from the outside, because I'm a Baranía, okay, but I'm living in Malta. I mean, it's 3 years now, so
you integrate it now.
I feel at home. And but what's intriguing me is the fact that there is a sort of planning, there is a methodology, and there is a plan behind it. Participating in the project, there is an idea of where we want to go,
and the
critical point of view, etc., etc. That is something that is not so common, even outside, even in other reality. I come from Italy, and in Italy is not common at all. I mean, you have the money for an event, you create the event, and that's it. There is no a sort of planning between different events and the university and the Mbina Biennale. That's something new for me. It's the first time that I'm taking part in something.
But that doesn't mean that in Malta everything is done this way. Eh?
No. That's why I was speaking about something is new for me is in this kind of approaching.
So, Daniela, is that a bit...
No, fine.
I thought you were going to be more provocative, in fact, and I was a bit scared. But since you're not provocative, so I'm going to shut up.
It's as you wish. I can't. I mean,
No.
I wouldn't like to.
No.
Because I'm a journalist.
Exactly. No, we can. We can continue. Why not? So, Daniela.
No, one other question I have, and
three, two, one, fire.
from an educational point of view, what do we, as a country, have to do to encourage, more professionalism in the art sector, for example? I mean, we have a lot of, as you said, many people have a lot of events, a lot of artists, but we have the quantity, but who is taking note of the quality? In the sense, you know, we have experienced artists, including yourself, renowned, and... what can we do as a country, and maybe we can also learn from this, from the Mbina Biennale, to ensure that there are enough opportunities for people to learn the proper way and to really appreciate art in the way that it should be appreciated? Are we doing enough, and what do you think should be done?
Another complicated. Feel free to enter the discussion. Yeah. Feel free. We are from the Mbina Biennale now. As you're seeing, Daniela has diverted us in a good way, in a general way. Yes, we have big problems, I think, although not only in Malta.
Yes.
But the problem that I'd like to concentrate my answer on Malta is the fact that, I mean, we have big problems in the sense that we don't have a strong tradition on to which we can. Risk falling back.
Mm-hmm.
For example, even in France and Italy and London, there are big problems in contemporary world. There is a lot of rubbish in Britain, in France, in everywhere. Mm-hmm. Rubbish is not only in Malta, but my problem is French rubbish can sustain itself on Rodin, on Manet, on Monet. On let's call, I'm not saying Picasso's French, but Paris did create, as everybody knows, it's a cliché, that Paris is the center of art, of the art world, right? So by having rubbish in France, although I'm against contemporary rubbish, but yet again, Paris is still. So, but Malta is different. If we're going to create rubbish in Malta, we don't have enough tradition to fall back onto. So our rubbish would be really rubbish, whereas French rubbish would be relative rubbish, historically. This is, I think, a problem. And the other problem is, I call it the political problem. Unfortunately, again, not only in Malta, unfortunately, politics have distanced itself from art. So we have, I'm sorry to say, really ridiculous, stupid politicians, not only in Malta, that don't understand anything in art, absolutely anything. And so they are creating a whole path of degradation of art. Even if you look around us in Malta, these roundabouts, who gave permission to identify the Maltese nation with all those roundabouts, rubbish? Politicians, so. So even the you cannot separate politics from art. But look at the difference in the Renaissance. You had really strong, the Medicis, right? Unfortunately, I'm anti-clerical, as you know. But I have to accept it, that the aristocracy, I'm anti-aristocratic, but the aristocracy, the church, even totalitarian governments, why should, it's such a strange thing, works of art in Russia were provoked during Tsarist and totalitarian times. So, I mean, yes, it's a very complicated question, which does make me a bit sad, because, I mean, the rubbish that we're seeing around in Malta is all due to the lack of artistic appreciation and political decisions. I don't know how to, I mean, continue discussing this.
But yeah. At least you're working towards improvement. I mean, with the Biennale, that's one step.
Yes, that's true.
And also the new, I mean, fine arts, yeah, is opening in October next that's month.
But these are, you're right, Nikita, I'm not a pessimist, you're right, mm-hmm. But these are one-offs,
yes,
within a jigsaw puzzle, which sort of can never...
But like you said yourself, the quantity will go into quality, and the what's happening, the quantity is making you react to it. So you're already instigating,
yeah,
the
exactly,
quality.
Yeah.
So you're ready.
But we have to create this sort of atmosphere, at least a forum in which art can be discussed. Mm. We don't have it.
Mm. Yeah, we don't have debate. That's a big problem. Yes.
We don't.
So people are allowed to, you know, exhibit without, you know, a critical analysis and confronting what they see.
And even if I may, I mean, the idea of the May is simply great, but it's even true that the students that will start the May are already, are in their 20s at least. So from my point of view, what we have also to try to develop is something before, a regular, yes, education to, yeah, beauty somehow.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
So to arrive to the age of 20s already prepared to beauty, that's something natural, mm-hmm. And I think that if this natural education to arts, it's something that is within you, then you can immediately recognize what is good and what not, or maybe not, but mm-hmm. I mean, it's more clear, as you were discussing.
Yeah,
maybe in Paris even the rubbish is more evident, because you have the comparison, yes, with beauty, you have the immediate contrast, so you can recognize it very easily. So maybe this is another kind of exercise that we can try to do.
Yeah. And now we will have a contrast, having all these French artists, yes, exhibiting here.
Oh, it would be fantastic to see this, yeah, dialogue, or trialogue, yes, or quadre. Mm. That's it. Melanie.
I actually agree with what Elena just said, and I think that, especially, let's talk about the Maltese. I think the Maltese public has to be educated about art, because we just saw it some weeks ago with the sculpture of a three-legged horse, which was a major controversy. Like, everyone was like in panic, because we have a three-legged horse instead of
understanding. Yeah, everyone was wondering where the leg went.
Yeah, but... I don't understand why we are still seeking the four-legged horses, the major question, not why we haven't seen
them. Yes, exactly.
So I think, yeah, the public needs to be more educated from a younger age, as Irene.
Yeah, maybe, but although I do agree, I have my problem in... I don't really... No, don't get me wrong, I'm not... to explain myself, I'd rather be a bit confronting in this sense. I don't really care about the public, because the public is the same everywhere. You won't get an English person from the countryside accepting a three-legged horse, eh? not, so the problem is not just in Malta. If we're going to talk about the public, you have only a minority in all the world that would be artistically equipped to discuss. So I'm a bit sorry that every time this happens, the public is at fault. I don't think so, because again, I mean, the pyramid in Paris created a civil war. Mm-hmm. Pompidou Center in Paris created a civil war. The Shard in London created a civil war. So let's not... what I find interesting in what you said is, at least it created a discussion. It's good. People started to talk about art with the Zimme, right? It's what I criticized, and it was out of the blue. Mm-hmm. We don't have this interaction of the, let's say, somebody should now create something to oppose or to sustain Camilleri's horse, mm-hmm. right? No, it will stop here. Mm-hmm. It will stop here. This is the problem. There is no interaction. There is no move. There is no, nobody wrote a manifesto, philosophical, artistic manifesto against the Zimme. Everybody is just, this is the problem which we have. We don't act. We don't act. And it's a pity, because Austin Camilleri's, I think it's a fantastic work, really, with all the criticism. It's a fantastic work. But I'm feeling it's just one, no? And then nobody is talking about the stupidity of the DeMarcos monument. There are four major anatomical mistakes there. Major. With La Valette, as you know, I've been repeating this for, there are two major anatomical mistakes, and I'm talking their language, yeah? Not the modernist language. I'm talking figurative, classical, call it what you will. There are major anatomical mistakes in both. Nobody is reacting against the whole mediocre rubbish around the roundabouts. And as soon as Austin Camilleri comes out with a beautiful political statement, that's why that should remain in front of Parliament. It's a confront against Parliament, what Austin has done. That's why it's three-legged. Because we don't have a mentality, history, etc., etc., what you call, of this power relations of a horse. If you study history of art, you will understand what the philosophy behind the equestrian tradition is. Emperors, Napoleon, these are Zhukov in Soviet Russia, where the horse is a symbol of power. And Austin participated in this international, not just national, situation by proposing a three-legged horse. That's the absolute political, radical statement in Austin Camilleri. I'm not a fan of Austin Camilleri, but I really loved his provocative, and in front of Parliament. Now, there is a discussion trying to persuade people to remove the Zimme and put it in Barracca Tisfel, for example. It will lose everything. And of course, that's what everybody wants, because everybody reacted because the Zimme is a political statement, not an artistic. That's why it was made in China, and independently of the relationship between the artists. Austin wanted to create an anti-parliament statement, and it's beautiful. Whether we agree with it or not, it's another thing. Oh, I'm sorry. I got carried away.
Just one.
No,
point.
It's up to you.
Frederick's artwork will be maybe on ex votos or related to ex votos. Just wanted to make a comment that tomorrow there's going to be an ex voto exhibition.
It's already open.
There's
a lecture tomorrow on the ex voto tradition.
Where?
In the Maritime Museum. So yes, you might be interested to attend, actually.
Philip, provide.
Where is it?
In Virgo.
At the Maritime
Museum.
Ex voto.
And tomorrow there's a lecture as well about
in the evening.
You might be interested.
Just quickly, Dominique, you didn't really explain how you're going to integrate your approach into the Biennale.
Je ne suis pas sûre, mais I have two projects.
Okay.
Maybe a big volume in cardboard, very fragile, in a specific space, and another project with big books, a paper with wax, and holes with different tools.
Okay.
Like first les premières écritures,
comme un volumen, les premiers livres, les premières écritures, une sorte d'écriture universelle. un très long rouleau dans l'espace.
Yes, I remember how we discussed this problem when I was at your place. It's beautiful. It's just beautiful.
I think the interpretation of the theme was what to me was most crucial. But I have a lot of information to process. Very interesting.
So maybe they just want to say something about what we discussed about the art in Malta, perhaps what they had.
But just 1 minute, yeah.
Just one minute
each. One minute, chacun. Cash. Commence. One minute.
Plusieurs idées en fait par rapport à la Biennale et en parlant donc en fait cette idée de lumière qui m'intéresse et aussi d'éléments d'architecture et d'ouverture par rapport au lieu qu'on va sûrement rencontrer, donc qui laisse entrer la lumière. Donc ça pour moi c'est une piste de travail. Et puis il y a aussi ces possibilités d'installer des sculptures en tant que stèles. Et pourquoi pas aussi des collages, mais bon, voilà. Je pense qu'en allant visiter et en allant voir les lieux, précisément, les idées vont se poser. Et voilà, il faut encore un peu de temps pour que ça se règle. Voilà.
Kasia said that I think we all agree about this, that we really need to go to Medina and to have an idea of the real space that are offered. You know,
yes,
for the exhibition, and that what she's really into it is she's focusing on it is the light. She's thinking where, you know, that she's going to be really serious about, you know, looking at how the light will interfere with her work.
That's going to be very interesting in Andino.
Yeah, this is you, of course, and this is what we all need to do because you know, some you know, Dominique and Philippe has already been in Malta.
Not only in Malta, in Gozo.
In Gozo, so you know, they are the two in this group with Denis Pondruel that you have met probably, who have been there, and
yes,
so
yes,
they
yes,
have an idea of more than we. The three of us, we don't have any ideas except images.
Yeah. It's difficult to have a precise idea.
Precise idea, yeah. Of course.
Today, the travel today is the opportunity to discover.
Oh, today we go through everything.
Yes, yes.
No, but what I think about what you know the discussions that you had between you know, the Biennale could be an opportunity to just, you know, it's always a problem. You know, I have lived when I was younger in another island, in Iceland.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So, and when I hear you talking about the problem that you could have, it's also an island here, or islands, three islands. And of course, when you are in an island, either you are among yourself, like talking, or you have to open, you have to discover other, or bring things to this island. So this is what the Biennale is doing, is bringing ideas and things, and that could change also the students to see, to have so many other things to just to look at. Because what I personally think is that, of course, we have a lot of, we are lucky today, we have computers, we have websites, we have books, but it's never the same if you are in front of an artwork. Even if this artwork is not the best of the work, it's much better to see a real work than
the context of it.
Yeah.
And the relationship of all the artworks together with Medina, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you like to say anything, Frédéric, before you go?
Je pourrais dire que c'est la même chose pour l'architecture, et c'est pour ça que c'est aussi important pour nous tous d'être là et de pouvoir voir les sites. Pour confronter nos idées ou préciser nos idées et travailler après.
Philippe.
Ah, je suis vraiment très heureux d'être parmi vous. Vous êtes vraiment fort sympathique. Que pourrais-je vous dire de plus que ce qui a été dit là? C'est tellement Ouais, moi, j'ai hâte. Je suis très impatient, très curieux de voir comment ma sculpture, qui est souvent à l'extérieur, dans le jardin, va se trouver là, dans le monde baroque. Comment le baroque et la sculpture vont pouvoir communiquer.
Voilà, bravo.
So, thank you everyone for joining us. Today, so we discussed, we met the artists, we discussed their projects and what they think about the theme of the Biennale. And we also discussed contemporary art in Malta. So I thank everyone, I thank Frédéric Lucien, Dominique Dabierre, Philippe Deloubière, Philippe Richard and Kasia Legrand, and also Nikki Petroni, Daniela Allen for her interesting questions, and Irene Bialchini, and Dr. Giuseppe Scabri Bonacci. I remind you to check our website for updates, www.mdinabiennale.org, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Bye.
Where are you going now?
Ah, okay.
Yes, we can go all together because I live in Istanbul. So that's great. I just remember. I have three seats because we live in Valentina.
I walked across an empty land. I knew the pathway like the back of my hand. I felt the earth beneath my feet. Sat by the river and it made me complete. Oh, simple thing, where have you gone? I'm getting old and I need something to rely on. So tell me when you're gonna let me in. I'm getting tired and I need somewhere to begin.